The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain, falling down upon the earth. Send your word, O Lord, like the rain, falling down upon the earth.
You may be seated. So it may sound a little familiar at the beginning, because I'm going to tell you again, after a long, hard day's work, I like to go home and I like to eat my favorite snack, which is cheese puffs and Grapico. That's right. If you were here last week, you heard all about my favorite snack. But I like to eat my cheese puffs and my Grapico in my recliner, and then I like to turn on the TV and watch Netflix, a streaming TV app. So the problem is, I have a 1.5-year-old, and that 1.5-year-old, she likes to find the remote control. And right at the good part, right when they're about to reveal the winner or they're about to save the day, she loves to either mute it or turn it off, you know, like miss what happens. Or she likes to take the remote and use it as a telephone and talk to her Gigi or her pop or, you know, somebody like that. And she likes to hide the remote. So Lila, my wife, has started like grabbing the remote from her as soon as she gets it, and she'll hide it so that Arlie can't find the remote. The problem is that my wife is really good at the hiding part, and she hides the remote so well that she and I can't find the remote too. So this happened a while back, and with our TV service, if you don't have the remote, you cannot use the box that comes with our TV service provider. So there were days of frustration, of arguments, of turning over couch cushions, moving furniture, trying to find this remote. We could not find this remote control. So I would get frustrated, and I would just simply sit in silence or just go to bed. You know, I was just so frustrated. And this went on for several weeks. And so finally I went on Amazon and I ordered a new remote control. It finally comes in. I get it programmed. I sit in my recliner. I pull the footstool up and clank on the floor. Find the remote control that had been missing. I think it happens to all of us, though. We lose something so simple and so minute, but it gets on our nerves. It just drives us crazy and gets under our skin. Maybe it's your car keys or a wallet. Maybe it's a piece of jewelry. Maybe you don't remember what level of the parking deck you parked on, and so you're having to find your car. You know, that happens all the time when you go to the hospital and stuff. But we get mad at ourselves. We get mad at everybody around us. Our entire day is ruined because we can't find whatever it is that we've lost. And so that's what's happening for the woman in our parable in the scripture today. She had lost one of her 10 silver coins. Now, for you and I, when I think about a silver coin, I think about maybe a nickel or dime or a quarter, maybe even a silver dollar or something like that. But this was not. This was not just a quarter for this lady. This was a lot more than that. It was actually one of the coins from the dowry that her family had paid to her husband to be married. And so this lady Hoyes, she is a contributor to the International Bible Lessons that was published in 1956. She explained it the best way that I saw. So Middle Eastern women in biblical times, they would sew these 10 silver coins inside their headdress that they would wear for the wedding day. And then they always wore that headdress with the 10 coins sewed in it. Now, some people would carry more than 10, but it was no less than 10 That was the minimum dowry. And there were no bank accounts for that day, so she had to keep her money on her at all times. And so a bride came to her husband with the 10 coins, and often even more than 10 coins, according to how wealthy her family was. But her husband would always know exactly how many coins were in the headband, because those coins belonged to him, and so did his wife. In those days, the wife was a belonging to the husband. And so the good thing about this was, for the husband, is that the law did not allow the creditors to take any money that was on the wife's headband. It could only take the money that was in the husband's possession. And so crafty husbands would give all of his money to the wife for the headband, so that he didn't have any money to pay the creditors back. So the problem is that if the woman lost any of the coins and the husband saw that there was any money missing, he would immediately accuse her of stealing, or accuse her of wasting the money on things that they didn't need. And the law in that day, divorce laws, actually leaned very heavily against the woman. It didn't take very much to be able to divorce your wife. And so this was definitely, stealing or wasting money was definitely a cause for divorce. So this woman who has lost a coin out of her headband, she didn't just lose a coin. If she did not find this coin, she was going to lose her home, her security, her husband, her reputation, and her children. I mean, this was a very important coin to her. And so she turned the whole house over. She searched the entire house, swept under the furniture, flipped the couch cushions over, because if she did not find this coin, her most prized, precious possession, it was going to be bad. So why does Jesus tell us this strange story? Why is it so important for him to use this as an example? Well, let's go back to the first verse of chapter 15 in Luke to find out who Jesus was telling this story to anyway. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were also there, grumbling, saying, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. And so Jesus told them this parable. And so this parable and the parable before it about the lost sheep, they're being told in the presence of wealthy, educated, and religious, but also it's being told in the presence of the uneducated, the poor, and the sinners. And so why does this man welcome sinners to eat with him? Why in verses 4 through 7 does the shepherd leave the 99 sheep to go after the one lost sheep? Why in our scripture today does the woman search the entire house for the one lost coin? And I believe the answer to that is this. No matter how lost we find ourselves, God will never stop looking for us. No matter how lost we find ourselves, God will never stop looking for us. Which leads me to another question. Why? What is it about me? What is it about you that God would never stop searching for us? I think that answer can be found all the way back in the beginning of the scriptures, in the book of Genesis, during the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, then God said, let us make humanity in our image, to resemble us, so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on the earth. God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them, male and female, God created them. In the divine image of God, you and I, you and I were created in the divine image of God. Not dogs, not trees, not mountains, not oceans, not orchids. In the divine image of God, only you, only humanity was created in the divine image of God. And because of this, we are so precious to God that instead of waving this magic scepter and bringing everything back to order, instead of sending 10,000 angels on a search and rescue mission, God himself came to earth to search for us because we are so precious to him, because we are created in his image. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says it this way, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life." God thinks so highly of us. He loves us so much that he came himself to search for us. And not only that, he calls us his workmanship. In some translations, he calls us his masterpiece. Man, artists paint for years before they finally say, "This is a masterpiece." But God calls you and I his workmanship, his greatest work of art, his masterpiece. And not only that, because we are his masterpiece, he has actually set out our lives before us. He has shown us the way we should live our lives. The way that life was planned was not supposed to be extravagant. It wasn't supposed to be full of magical powers. And it wasn't supposed to be as complicated as we've made it to be. The way of life God has planned for us is as simple as the life Jesus had set an example of. It's relationships. It's taking care of widows and orphans. It's sharing the love of Christ to the marginalized. It's simply living our lives in faith of Jesus Christ. And so my question for you today is, in what ways have you been making your life more complicated than it should be by living the plan you want for your life rather than the plan God has wanted for your life? And how different would your life be if you simply began living the plan God has for your life? And so the woman in our story today, she wasn't just looking for a simple coin. The woman was searching for her most prized possession. She was searching for the thing that she values the most. And she was searching for her way of life. God is not searching for just some random coin. God is searching for his prized possessions, for his masterpieces. And so how would your life be different if you lived every day, if you woke up every morning in the full knowledge that you are God's most prized possession? If you woke up with the confidence of knowing that because you are created in the divine image of God, that there is nothing, no height, no depth, no sin, nothing that can come between you and the love that God has for you. How would your life be different if you knew every day that no matter how lost you may find yourself, God will never stop looking for us? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.